Good morning once again. I'm Pastor Eric. Welcome to Bridge City Church. So excited to be here with you all. Something that happened yesterday, we have what we call our Victory and Freedom Encounters. I get the privilege of leading the men, and my wife Rachel led the ladies, and had such a powerful time of, it's about 12 to 13 hours of just ministry time. And how many of you have ever been to a Victory and Freedom before? Yeah, if you haven't been, you got to look forward to the next coming ones, but you know what I experienced yesterday? It never gets old, but people getting set free from their stuff, getting set free from their past, getting set free from their sins. And you know, there was one guy at the men who he rededicated his life to Jesus yesterday. Amen. You know, and it never gets old. With people are getting free from addictions and bondages and mental torment and for unforgiveness, and it never gets old. And I realized, like, man, this life of a Christian is exciting. There's joy. There's a passion when you get to experience what God has for his people. There's a passion and excitement that comes. And yet, what we can often get fall back into, man, this Christianity is just a bunch of rules and religion and works and do's and don'ts instead of, no, there's life and life abundantly that Jesus has for his people. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's what it means to be a Christian. To do this Christian life, it's expectation and anticipation of what God is going to do. I'm expecting God to move today. As we prayed this morning, we're expecting God to do a work today. How about you? Maybe you didn't realize that when you walked in, but you walked in, you stepped into a movement. That movement that Jesus started 2,000 plus years ago that we're continuing today. A movement of God through his Holy Spirit, through his church to build his kingdom. We're in our second week of Go Into Your World series, and all about how we don't just exist for ourselves, we exist to go out into our world to make a difference for the kingdom. So today's big idea is followers of Jesus will go into their world and along the way make a difference when they see the way Jesus sees, look for open doors, and invest the time. Key here is along the way. Along the way, it's not just a big project or an event or a program. It's along the way. We see the way Jesus sees. We look for open doors, and we invest the time. But often, I think we say no for people. Anybody else ever say no for people? I don't know if they'd want this Jesus. I don't know if they'd want Christianity. I don't know if they'd want this Christian life. And I go, man, who wouldn't want this? Who wouldn't want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, filled with his Spirit, and then given a new life to live and operate with power and excitement and passion? Who wouldn't want this? But we wrestle in our minds. We say, well, I don't know if they'd want this. Or we say, well, they're too far from God. Ooh, may we never say somebody's too far from God, because guess what? We weren't too far from him, right? And that we can look at people and say no for them. But today's message is all about a man who was rejected. He was despised. He was really hated by his fellow people. He just wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus saw him. He looked for an open door, and he stopped and invested the time in him. I mean, who doesn't love a story of redemption, right? Well, we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 today, and I want to just give you a little background, a little context, because Luke 18, you know, for those of you who might not know, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses and broken up this way. It was really, a lot of it were letters that were just continuation. And later on in our history, they put in chapters and verses so we could more easily find passages. So chapter 18 is really just, it flows right into 19. It's telling the story, the gospel of how Jesus was living his life, going about his day-to-day life. So understanding the culture, and understand before we get into Luke 19, in chapter 18, it was very customary in a town when a famous person was coming to town, the townspeople would actually leave the city and go greet the person outside the city walls and then welcome them into the city. And the more famous the person was, typically the further out from the city the people would go. So this is where we are. Jesus is approaching Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And there's this blind beggar who's typically they're at the city gates or outside the city, and they're begging, they're asking for money. They can't work because, you know, he's blind. This blind guy, Bartimaeus, he hears all these people going by. All the people are going out to see this famous guy. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? He inquires, and they say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. We're all going to see him. So the Bartimaeus, he just starts crying out. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He's crying out to Jesus. And the people actually tell him, shut up. Don't talk. He doesn't want to see you. And then he just says, shouts louder and says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears him. He turns to him and he says, what can I do for you? He goes, I want to see. Jesus, I want to see. Jesus heals the man. His blindness is gone. He can now see. He gives glory and praise to God. And all the people around him give glory and praise to God as well. What an awesome, awesome story. Now, this is just something. Jesus is on his way through the town. And he stops and says, Bartimaeus begins to follow Jesus. So this is the buildup of what Jesus is going in Luke 19 as he enters Jericho. Before we get into that text, would you join me as we pray? Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we have this place to worship you. God, to just gather together as your sons and daughters to hear your word to get today. God, I pray you'd speak through me today. Let it not be my words, but your words. God, may your spirit speak to each and every person here today, that we'd receive what you want us to receive, and then we'd be able to apply what your word says in our lives. And God, we do this all for your praise, your honor, and your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, amen. So Luke 19, again, Jesus is just on his way. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Really, he's on his way to the triumphal entry, what we know as Palm Sunday. He's about to go spend his last days on earth. And along the way, he heals a blind guy. He's going through Jericho. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So it seems reasonable that the people in Jericho, they were expecting to host Jesus, this famous guy. They've been hearing all these stories. They've been hearing for years. Jesus had been performing miracles and doing ministry, and they would have had a banquet prepared to honor this man, to recognize him. But Jesus, he continues on. He says, through the town, he's introduced to Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and if you don't know much about those, it's a lot different than the way we have them today. So in Israel time, in the time the Bible is written, Rome was in control of this whole region, the Roman Empire. And Rome instituted taxes on the people to continue funding their empire. So often they would hire the local people. So a Jewish guy, in this case Zacchaeus, was hired by the Romans to collect taxes from his own people. And not only did he usually collect the taxes, they usually were allowed to add on whatever they wanted to pocket their own, to fill their own pockets. So Zacchaeus was hated. Tax collectors were hated. All through the Bible, we see they're the worst of the worst. They're the scum of the sinners, the scum of the people, because they were not just working for Rome. They were not just filling their own pockets, but they were traitors to Jerusalem, to traitors to the Jewish people. At least that's the way they saw tax collectors. But it's important to understand, too, Zacchaeus, he wasn't this guy who was down and out. I think of Zacchaeus as he was really well off. He was very rich, as the word says. He probably had a lot going for him. He was probably living his best life of sin and extortion, could kind of buy and get whatever he wanted. So this wasn't a guy who was, man, he hit rock bottom and he needed help. There's a broad spectrum of people who, my story is, I hit rock bottom before I found the rock of Jesus. But other people, man, they're living their best life of sin and selfishness and whatever their pleasures of life give to them. We all need Jesus. And today we're going to look at Zacchaeus specifically. Even in Matthew 21, just as a reference, if you want to write it down, Matthew 21, verses 31 and 32, Jesus is given an illustration talking about different sinners and who's righteous. And he says, you know what? The prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't, your sin, your lifestyle doesn't determine whether you get into heaven. It's your decision of what you do with Jesus. Are you going to turn from your wicked ways and repent towards him, turn towards him, and truly begin to walk the way of righteousness shown by Jesus? The Pharisees, the rabbis at the time, they'd even discuss whether tax collectors could be saved. whether they could turn and have true repentance. Because they thought, man, they're so far back, they're so far gone, there's no way that they can turn back to God. That's what the rabbis often at the time would discuss and have conversation of, can they even be saved? And we can often do that for people saying, they're so far gone, no, there's no hope for them. You know, one of my neighbors, we invite her to church often, and we try to get her parents to come, and she goes, my dad would never step foot in a church. Nah, he's so far, there's no hope for him. And it breaks my heart thinking, we do that often too. We look at people and go, man, they're so far, they don't want it. Yet we don't realize how bad and how desperate people really are for Jesus. They just don't realize it yet. Or we look at people who are wealthy and well off and think, they don't need it. I don't know what hope I can give them. And I'm reminded as I was writing this week of when Rachel, my wife, and I started going door to door, giving out food boxes, and there's a team of other people years ago. We were just going door to door, dozens of houses right here in Murraysville, just with food, and say, hey, we're just wondering if anybody needs food, if we can pray for you. And almost everybody was like, why are you doing this in Murraysville? Nobody needs help here. Like, everyone's well off. And what happened? We came to this house, really nice house, nice yard, nice driveway, knocked on the door, and that family came to the door, and they were so desperate for help. The husband lost his job. So they bought this house and had all this nice stuff when they had an income. Now he doesn't have this income. The son had a lot of medical issues, a lot of medical bills. They were struggling, and they didn't know where to go. We didn't just show up with food. We showed up with the hope of Jesus Christ. But we can look at the exterior and go, they don't need Jesus. They don't need it. And the reality is, everybody needs Jesus. Our job is to bring them the hope of Jesus. It's their choice whether they receive it or reject it. But let's not say no for people. And along the way, we're going to find people who are desperate and in need. Even if it takes dozens, hundreds, whatever it takes, let's keep looking for that one. So Luke 19, verse 4, it says, Zacchaeus, he couldn't see over the crowds, remember, he's too short, so he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus was going to pass that way, and when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, quickly, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. I just think Jesus is doing it in such an excitement. There's exclamation points in the text. He says, Zacchaeus, like, come on down. Quickly, come here, come here, come here. See, Jesus saw differently. He saw an open door of opportunity to invite somebody in to a relationship with him. Interesting to note is a sycamore fig tree was a very dirty tree, had a lot of droppings, and ancient Jewish writing said that they weren't even allowed to be planted within the city limits because they didn't want to have to deal with cleaning it. So it's outside, and it says Jesus went through Jericho, so beyond the city limits, out in this near this messy tree, this man who is a wealthy man, this guy who you would not imagine him climbing this filthy tree, but he was so desperate for God, he did anyways. The point here is many people that we need to talk to, many people that need to meet Jesus are outside the walls, outside in messy, dirty places. And if we're unwilling to go there, we're not going to see people turn to God like we should. Jesus went outside the walls. Jesus went to the dirty, messy places. How many of you know he came to your dirty, messy place and cleaned you up? Amen? But why didn't Zacchaeus just come up to Jesus? Why did he have to climb this tree? Why did he have to do it this way? I believe, it doesn't explicitly say in the text, I believe because of his stigma society had on, he was a filthy, wicked sinner. He was probably afraid for his life, or he just didn't feel like he was worthy enough to come close to Jesus. He didn't feel like he could approach Jesus. He knew who this Jesus was. He knew, I believe it was his shame, it was his guilt. He saw the God in the flesh, and he said, I can't get close enough, but I want to see him. I want to see him. And there's a lot of people in our lives that they see Jesus. They want to see Jesus, but they're maybe afraid to get too close because they're not sure. Am I welcome? Am I allowed? Am I worthy? Am I good enough? Aren't these the thoughts that often you've wrestled with in your life? Am I good enough to be used by God? Am I good enough that God would accept me? And the great news is the answer is no, because you're not good enough, but he is good enough to overcome all of your stuff, all of your past, all of your filth, all of your sin. He can cover it all if you accept him and make you clean once again. Here at Bridge City Church, we're a place where truth and grace is for everyone, that we love everyone. and true repentance, turning from our sins, is for everybody. It's available to all. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. The word says whosoever, not whosoever votes a certain way, whosoever has a certain financial status. It's whosoever calls upon the name. Black, white, yellow, rich, poor, old, young, male. It doesn't matter. If you call upon the name of the Lord, believe in your heart, confess your sin, turn from it, and turn towards Jesus, you will be saved. And there's no greater joy in life than that. Amen. We should give God a hand. Zacchaeus climbs this tree looking foolish. And I don't want you to put the picture up, by the way, but there's a story I heard about. It's like Danny DeVito in a tunic in a tree. So now you're like picturing this. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about Danny DeVito. He's 4'11", by the way, I looked up. So he's a very short man. But you know, this Zacchaeus is in this tree, and it's just like this rich guy in the tree. Just like, why would he do that? Because he was so desperate to see Jesus. He knew he had all the stuff, all the money, all the stuff going for him. He could buy whatever he wanted. Yet something was missing deep inside of him. Something was missing. He was longing for Jesus. And Jesus saw him differently than the rest of the world. Jesus saw him as he truly was. It's interesting, Zacchaeus' name means pure, clean, or just. But yet here he is, a sinful, wicked sinner, right? The chief tax collector. Could have been, the society said, the worst of the worst. He's the lowest of the low. Yet his name meant pure, clean, and just. When Jesus called out to him, he was saying, pure, clean, and just. He didn't say, hey, you, get down here. I got some things I need to talk to you about. He says, Zacchaeus, clean, pure, just, innocent, come down quickly. He saw him beyond the labels of society. He knew his name and invited himself into his world. He didn't just see Zacchaeus as the rest of the world. He spoke to his true identity. Jesus didn't say no for him, but he welcomed himself into his household. You know, these invite cards, we gave them out last week. There's some available at Connection Point. We're going to have more the next couple weeks. These are just a way that you can invite people to come to church. A simple invite, and starting with that, because this is a place where you can have friends and family and coworkers meet Jesus. Meet Jesus and understand there's a community here. There's a family here. There's the sons and daughters of God gathering together. There's so much joy when the family's all together in harmony. Amen? And that's what this is all about. It's inviting those far from God, those who maybe just don't have a home or a church family, inviting them in to experience God all together and not saying no for people. You know, last week we asked four questions, and I'm going to ask you again this week to write down these four questions, to answer these, how we go into our world. There's four questions of what's your address? What do you do? What's your work? What's your school? Write out circles, maybe circles of influence, your city, your community, committees. Who are the people? So it starts with, where are you at? Where do you live? Where do you work? Where do you go to school maybe? Who are the circles of influence you have? That's why we say go into your world, because it's before we can go into our world, it's you go into your world and you go into your world and you go into your world. You have specific influence over people that I don't have. So you can go and invite people that you have influence with. And the more we all do that, the more we'll see people coming in to the family of God, gathering them in so they can begin to grow and give, and then they get to go out into their world as well. So writing these down, writing out their names, writing out those names, that name, he didn't, again, Jesus didn't just say, hey, you. He said, Zacchaeus. He called him by name. There's people wondering, does anybody know my name? Does anybody know who I am? And if you know their name, then yes, you do, but letting them know, saying, I know your name, and hey, would you come sit with me? He says to Zacchaeus, come quickly, get out of your mess, get out of the outside wall place, and come quickly to join me. We can put that verse back up. It says, come quickly, he said to him. And I believe Zacchaeus is definitely single, because he didn't say, hold on, let me text my wife. We got to make sure the house is ready. No, we don't know that for sure. But the reality is, he just said, yes, I must be a guest in your home today. Now imagine if that happened today. Like, this culture and American culture is so different, right? There's a lot of cultural difference. If I just said to any of you, say, I'm coming to your house today, you get dinner ready, you're probably going to be like, what, are you crazy, right? No, but typically we do is say, hey, I want to get together. We'll pull out our phones, we get on the calendar, we schedule it. Something comes up, we got to reschedule it. Something comes up, we got to reschedule. And then sometimes we just never get together. That's often the American way of doing things. The Jewish culture, it was, hey, I'm coming over, have dinner ready. And it was like, okay. You welcomed guests into your home. Hospitality was such a huge importance in the Jewish culture. So, so vital to their culture of welcoming people. What's amazing is he didn't give a bunch of excuses. Oh, man, I got to clean up the living room. I haven't done dishes in 3 days, 4 days, 6 days. I'm trying to help cover everybody. 2 weeks. He didn't give a bunch of excuses. Like, hold on. Let me go get cleaned up first. He said, come as you are. Jesus says, I'm coming over. Jesus is saying to some of you right now today, I'm coming over. Let me into your life. I'm inviting myself into your life. Will you accept me? Will you accept me as you are? Don't worry about your mess you're in. Don't worry about the filth you're in. Don't worry about all the stuff. Let me come clean it for you. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. You just have to be willing to say yes to him. Just say, yes, Jesus, come into my life as I am. And then you do the work cleaning me up, Jesus. It's going to be better than anything I could do on my own. How many of you have been real good at cleaning your own messes up? Nobody, for the record, right? It's when Jesus cleans us up, it's so much better. It's amazing that this man was known as a notorious sinner. What's shocking isn't that he knew his name, but that he still accepted him as he was. What makes God's grace so amazing? It's not only that Jesus died for sinners. See, it would make sense if Jesus died for the really righteous, the good ones, the ones who are like, they only have the little sins, not the big ones, and the ones who try to do everything. They got perfect church attendance. They memorize their Bible. It would kind of make a little more sense in our human minds if Jesus died for those people, the good ones. But yet the Bible says, no, not one of us is good. Well, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. Me included. I'll be the chief of sinners saying, I'm not perfect. None of us are. We all need Jesus to enter our lives. And what makes it so amazing is that he knew me, my name, my mess, and still extended his life-changing restoration to me. The amazing grace of God. It doesn't make any sense, humanly speaking, but it makes all the sense when you understand the heart of God. The heart of a perfect, loving Father who wants to have a relationship with us. What better than cleaning up your own mess is having somebody else clean it? Anybody ever have somebody clean your house? It's glorious. It's worth every bit of every money you pay. Like, I just love not having to clean my own house. But letting Jesus clean up our mess, accepting us as we are, come as you are. Jesus is saying, I'm coming into your life. Will you accept me? Do we see people the way Jesus sees them? Or do we see people the way the world sees them? He says, I must be a guest in your home today. There's urgency about it. He said, I must be a guest today. I must come today. Do we have the same urgency that Jesus had for people far from God? To say, I must share Jesus with you. I must share this hope that's within me with as many people as possible. Along the way, as I go about my day-to-day life, I can just share Jesus with people. It's a beautiful thing when we understand it's not just Sunday morning. It's not just the next evangelistic program or next mission trip. It's along the way, each and every day, sharing Jesus. You know, one of the key things I shared with all the guys yesterday at Victory and Freedom, I said, you know, don't get caught up in preaching theology and having arguments with people about the Bible. Just share what God's done in your life. Now, we should study the Bible. I don't want to discount that. We should know the Bible. We should study, but that doesn't usually win people to Jesus, but your testimony has power. It said they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, Revelation 12. That's your testimony. Man, God's done a work in my life. I know this looks really bad right now, but I got peace because I know Jesus. I got this physical illness going on right now, but I still have hope in Jesus. Whether I'm healed this side of heaven or on the other side, I know my healing's coming. We can have that peace about us that people are drawn to. Tell me more. Tell me, how do you do that? And they want to know, they want to see Jesus. But oftentimes we're hiding him deep inside of us instead of letting him out. Jesus saw him. He didn't just preach at him or talk to him. He wanted to have a relationship with him. Jesus said, let's eat. Let's sit down together. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's have a meal together. Let's have be hospitable together. If you're afraid to invite people into your home, then maybe you should clean your house up and then invite people anyways. Like, don't worry about all that stuff. Just invite people. And go sit at a restaurant or sit somewhere else. Sit in a park and let's spend time with people. Because it's going to take more time. In fact, the interesting is, because Jesus had already gone through Jericho, he's outside by this sycamore fig tree, he would have had to go backwards, back into the city, changing his plans, changing the direction he was going. He could have been like, man, I'm Jesus. I'm on my way to be crucified, to take care of the world's sins. I'm heading to Jerusalem. I got important things to do. Who would argue? That's the important thing, the most important thing any of us could ever hope for. Yet he stopped and made time for somebody else, for one man. Even going back into the city to have a meal with Zacchaeus, to take time and to change his plans. We must be looking for those open doors. They're all around us, but we don't see them because we're so busy doing our own thing. We can often miss what God is doing right in front of us. So Jesus says, quickly, Zacchaeus jumped down. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house. Verse 6, takes him to his house in great excitement and joy. How many of you remember that day, that moment you got saved, that moment you began a relationship with Jesus? And it was like, I don't care what people think. I'm telling everybody about him. There was like an excitement and a joy and a passion of like, I got to tell you, just Jesus, he knows my name. He accepts me as I am. And I know he's going to clean up my messes. And I've hope in him. And there's this joy and excitement. But then what happens? A few years go by, maybe a few decades go by. And it's like, yeah, I know Jesus. I pray. I read my Bible. When was the last time you had that joy, that passion, that excitement like we all once had? That fire, and maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe you've never experienced the joy and the excitement of knowing that you once were dead and now you're alive in Christ. Then today could be your day to say, Jesus, I want that. I want to know what it means to be a Christian and not just what the American culture says, but in what you say, a follower of Jesus, to live this life of great excitement and joy. It doesn't say just a little bit of excitement. He wasn't like, yeah, he was excited. He climbed down the tree. He's like, I'm going with Jesus. He was passionate. He was excited about Jesus calling him by name. May we never forget that moment where we began a relationship with Jesus. May we never take that for granted of being dead to our old selves and alive in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old is gone, the new life has begun, that we are all new creations in Christ if we've truly accepted him. There should be an excitement and a joy and a passion. How many of you have been saved by the blood of Jesus? How many of you have begun a relationship? That should be excitement. If you don't, today could be your day. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes. But here we go. Zacchaeus is all excited, but the people were displeased. They grumbled. They said, oh, he's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. Zacchaeus was pumped. He was excited. And yet all these people are grumbling like, well, why is he going to his house? I'm better than him. Why didn't Jesus come to my house? I got smoked shoulder rib ready, pork shoulder going on. And Jesus doesn't, they wouldn't have done that because they're Jewish, but maybe he would have had something really good for Jesus. Some hummus. All these people, they're grumbling. They're like, why didn't he come to my house? What's the matter? Like, why did he ghost me, right? All these people they would have had a banquet ready for Jesus. And Jesus just goes, I'm not going there. I'm going to this guy. He doesn't say anything to them necessarily. He doesn't even acknowledge it in the text. But he just says, I'm going to Zacchaeus' house. I'm going with this guy. And there's joy in heaven when one sinner returns and repents. Luke 15:7, there's joy in heaven. It says, all the angels shout with joy. There's celebration in heaven when one person turns. That one man yesterday that turned from himself and turned towards God to get his life back with Jesus, that's a celebration. That's what we're celebrating when one turns. It never gets old. It never gets old. And I have to remind myself often, go back to that moment when I got saved and say, Jesus, keep me there. Keep me remembering what you've saved me from and what you've saved me for. You saved me for a purpose. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Amen? If Jesus has set you free, you're free. It doesn't matter about the people grumbling. It doesn't matter about your family that's grumbling about. It doesn't matter about, you've been set free. Live like it. Live like it and be free to just be excited and filled with joy. No matter what people are saying around you. They accuse Jesus of hanging out with scum, hanging out with the notorious sinners, hanging out with those who are not worthy to be housing the Son of God. But Jesus, this wasn't just the only time he did this. Jesus had a lifestyle of specifically tax collectors, prostitutes, those who were far from him. I think personally, Jesus was he did this on purpose. Of course he did, but it was like because the religious people said, this is what it looks like. And Jesus says, no, you got it all wrong. The kingdom of heaven is so different. The kingdom of heaven is where those who are less than can become greater than. Those who think they're great are going to be made less than. The kingdom of God is flipped on its head than the kingdom of this world. We see another time when Jesus calls Matthew, another tax collector. His name was Levi, and Jesus actually changed it to Matthew. And in Luke chapter 5, Levi gave a large dinner at his home for Jesus. Everybody was there, taxmen, other disreputable characters, as guests at the dinner. The Pharisees and the religion scholars came to his disciples greatly offended. They said, "What is he doing eating and drinking with misfits and sinners?" Jesus heard about it and spoke up. "Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out." Jesus was reaching outsiders, inviting them to a changed life. A changed life. That's what the invitation is. Not just to be gooder or better or make your bad good and your good gooder. It's to make you from death to life. From death to life. A changed and transformed life. That's what this is about. And along the way, we must start by seeing the way Jesus sees and looking for open doors and investing time. Jesus had to invest time. He did it. Why do we think we're going to be able to just pray one time or share one time and people are going to get saved? Jesus spent time with people. How much more should we do it as well? So we see Levi, who became Matthew, a tax collector, a disreputable sinner, all these people. Again, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Jesus came to help those who knew they were sick. He says he came to help those who didn't believe, think they were righteous, but knew they were a sinner. That's who he called. Luke 19, verse 8 through 10, back to Zacchaeus. It says, "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.'" See, by Levitical law, if you stole money or robbed somebody or defrauded somebody, you were required to give back what you took plus 20%. And some of the law of the Torah, if you stole animals or sheep or anything like that, you had to give four times as much. So here's Zacchaeus, and he's going above and beyond because he gives away half of his wealth. And then he says, "I'm going to pay back everybody four times as much." See, it wasn't just a I'll do the bare minimum required. Oh, I can come do one time. I'll do one time. I don't just come and do the bare minimum. Zacchaeus says, "I'm going to go above and beyond." This is a sign of a changed lifestyle. That Jesus was knocking on his door, and he received Jesus, and then he began a relationship with him. He met the requirements of the law, but then he went so much further than that. See, repentance is a change in mind that changes our direction. It's we're going one way, we stop going that way, and we go this way. Zacchaeus was greedy and selfish and all about me and taking advantage of people, but then he says, "I met Jesus, I'm going to repent. I'm going to go the opposite way, and I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be selfless. I'm going to be a giver. I'm not going to just pay people back. I'm going to bless them even abundantly. And I'm going to give away half my wealth to the poor." This is a sign of a changed and transformed life and a life that was restored by faith. Jesus responds. He says, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." See, Generosity is a sign of a change and transformed lifestyle. Jesus didn't die 100% death on the cross for you to have a 30% victory in your life, or a 40% help in your life, or 50% freedom in your life. Jesus died 100% death for you to have 100% victory and freedom in your life, to give 100% of your life away. But what do? We hold back so often. Jesus, you can have my Sunday morning. You can have my Tuesday night or Wednesday night for group, but that's it. That's it. Oh, Jesus, I'll swear a little less. I'll drink a little less. I'll do a little less. No, Jesus said, I want all of you. I want 100% of you, your life, your time, your attention, your desires, and your finances. He says, I want it all, because it's a changed and transformed life. That's what identifies. That's what screams a testimony to the world of, wow, you're different. You're different. You give to the church. You serve there all the time. Why do you have to give money? And it's like, it's not about the money. It's about my heart and my posture. And the word says that where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. And I want my heart to be with Jesus 100% of the time. That's what it means to be 100% changed and transformed by Jesus. Like, every area of my life is for him. Every single part of it, say, Jesus, I'm yours. Use me, God. I'm yours. We must allow him to change and transform every area of our life. Zacchaeus was changed and transformed, not just a little bit, but 100%. It says salvation. This word salvation that Jesus is speaking here, it means deliverance, preservation. God's rescue, which delivers believers out of danger and into safety. We call this crossing the bridge. Crossing the bridge. You hear it here every Sunday, every week. We talk about making ways for people to cross the bridge of life. Let me put it this way. There's this illustration. I didn't come up with it. It's been around a lot longer than me. There's like a cliff on this side, and if you can picture it, a cliff on this side, and God's over here. Okay, God's over here, and man is over here. And there's this big chasm between us. In the Garden of Eden, God and man were together. It was like they were one, but then sin entered the world. Sin came in through Adam and Eve, through the serpent in the garden, and it separated us from God. Sin separates us from God. Where now God's over there and we're over here. And we try really hard to get to God. We come up with new religion, we come up with new works and special prayers and certain ways we do things, and we try really hard to get to him, and we always fall short. We help the little old lady cross the street. We pay for somebody's groceries. We do all these good things trying to earn our way back to God, but not realizing we're separated, and everything we do on our own is always gonna fall short. The only way to get back to God is through the bridge of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, he became that bridge. When he was stretched out on the cross, he made himself the bridge from getting from where we are to where we need to be, where God has a right relationship with him. He's our Savior and our Lord. He's the forgiver of our past. He's washed away all that filth. Doesn't matter what sycamore fig tree you're in. Doesn't matter what sin you've done. Doesn't matter what thoughts you're thinking. You can be forgiven of that if you accept him as the forgiver of your past. He washes it clean. He takes it all away. He pays for our sin. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to stumble. But man, just allowing him to pay for everything you've ever done and everything in the future if you accept him. He's forgiven it. And then the other part of this, the bridge, is now he's gonna become the leader into your future. He's gonna lead you into your life. He's gonna give you, he said, Jesus left, he says, I must go, and I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and comfort you, to be your advocate, your helper. He gave us his Holy Spirit so that we can walk now in excitement and joy and passion and all the fruit of the Spirit. It takes both. Maybe you're here and you go, I know I've been forgiven, but I'm not sure if I'm really walking with Jesus. I'm not following him like I should. It takes both to get back to God. It's the only way we can truly be saved, is not just wanting to be saved, but saying, no, God, I want to give my life to you now. I've been living my own way, and God, I want to live your way. Would you please stand to your feet? I know I've asked you a couple times. Many of you you've accepted Jesus. You've crossed that bridge. You've experienced new life. Thank God for that. But maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't know if I have that day. I don't know if I have that moment where I know that I've crossed that bridge. Maybe you're on this side of that bridge. Maybe you've taken a step. Maybe you're partway. But we want to make sure that you're all the way over here, a new creation in Christ Jesus, that Jesus has forgiven you of your past, and he's going to lead you into your future. So I'm offering you today, it's real simple. If you believe in your heart right now, God's moving on you, you feel something moving in your heart, I just ask you to slip up your hand right where you are. Say, I want to make Jesus the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. Just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where I'm at. Anybody at all? Going once, going twice. Amen. Let's all pray. Father God, we thank you, God, that you saved us. God, we thank you that you've made a way for us to cross that bridge. God, that nothing we could do on our own could ever get us in a right relationship with you, but only through the blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus, your blood that was shed for us, that you were buried and rose again 3 days later. Only that is the way that we get to be right with God. God, we thank you that you didn't stay on the cross. You didn't stay in the grave, but you rose from the dead, overcoming sin and death. God, we thank you that there's so much more to this life than what we currently see or experience. God, there's a life beyond the grave. God, that hymn of heaven. God, may we sing that as we leave this place today, as we sing about how you are welcoming us into a right relationship with you. God, we thank you, God, and I pray that we would all see people as you see them. God, to look for open doors. And God, to invest the time into people's lives, because it's always going to be worth it. God, as we go along the way, may we see and experience people come into the faith, to be gathered into the family, all for your praise, your honor, and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Brandy, come on up.